was a title that he gave himself, a title which has puzzled people for the ages, and that was a serpent. Jesus called himself a serpent. I cannot think of anything, no title, so undeserving and so incorrect as that of Christ being a serpent. For in Scripture, almost from the beginning of Genesis all the way through, a serpent is always a symbol of evil. Satan is even called that old serpent, the devil. It was a serpent that tempted Eve and caused her, of course, to succumb to the, or influenced her to succumb to the eating of the forbidden fruit. It was a serpent that was cursed because of his cooperation with the devil in getting Adam and Eve to fall. Why would Jesus ever refer to himself as a serpent? Well, in John chapter 3, verse 14 is where he does it. John 3 is a very interesting chapter. It begins with Nicodemus coming to Jesus and Jesus saying, Nicodemus, you must be born again if you are to ever go into the kingdom of heaven. He implies then that this birth is supernatural and it must be done by the Holy Spirit. The new birth is absolutely necessary. And then Jesus comes along and says something else is also absolutely necessary. And that is that I must be lifted up. Before you can be born again, I must be lifted up. Before the Holy Spirit can give you new life, give you a new birth, make you a new person, give you eternal life, I must first be lifted up. Now look, if you will, at chapter 3, at verse 14. Still talking to Nicodemus. Moses, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and here's where he makes that comparison, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, comparing himself to the serpent, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Note carefully, he calls himself the Son of Man when he talks about being lifted up, because it would be him as the Son of Man that would be lifted up, not as the Son of God. Now, what he's alluding to here is something that took place with Israel during the days that Moses led them in the wilderness. So if you go back to Numbers, and the 21st chapter of Numbers, verses 4 through 9 tells a story that Jesus is here calling to mind to Nicodemus. Numbers 21, verse 4. And Israel journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. In other words, it was a difficult journey. And they did not want to have a difficult journey. They wanted everything just like they wanted. They wanted the journey to be very pleasant, and it was not pleasant. And so the people began to speak against God. They complained as the way God was leading them. And they also complained against Moses. Wherefore, they said, have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread. There was bread, there was manna, but it wasn't to their satisfaction. They wanted different bread. Neither is there any water. There was water, but they wanted more than water. And our soul hates this light bread, and that was the manna that God sent them supernaturally. But they say, we don't like the taste of this bread. We want something different. We want something better. Because of their mumbling and grumbling and murmuring and complaining and finding fault with God, God got fed up with them. And here's what he did. He sent fiery serpents among the people, which bit the people, and many people died. After a while, the people realized that it was their murmuring that had brought this upon them, and so they went to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Would you now pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents away from us? And so Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any person, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now that's the story that Jesus alludes to in his conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus compares himself to this serpent that was lifted up by Moses. Instead of instructing Moses just to pronounce blessing upon the people and remove the curse, he instructed that Moses make something out of brass. And that something was another serpent. And to hang that serpent or nail that serpent to a pole, high, tall pole, that everyone could see no matter how far away from the pole they were. Now, in Scripture, a serpent is always chosen to depict the deadly and the harmful and the painful power of sin. Sin will bite you. When sin bites you, it's as bad as a serpent's sting. It'll torment you. It'll wreck your life. It'll ruin you. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy your health. When sin bites you, it'll kill you. Eventually, it will destroy you. And so, sin always leaves its victim afflicted, spiritually sick, stricken, miserable, and eventually, outwardly, physically, it'll end in death and destruction. So that is the picture of the serpent's bite. Now, this brass serpent foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ. And God did this for one reason, to point forward to the day that His Son would be lifted up and become like that brass serpent. That His Son would provide the healing of all those bitten by sin and were under the curse of death. That His Son, when lifted up on that pole, would be the only solution to the problem sin brings into a person's life. There is no other solution. Why didn't God have Moses nail up an actual serpent? Just go down and grab one of the things and put it up on the pole and nail it up there. Because that would have ruined the picture. That would have indicated that God will execute judgment upon the sinner and the sinner alone. There is no hope there. Everyone would still die. There is no life in the sinner. He cannot give life to another sinner. All right? Worse still, that would have misrepresented Christ. Because Christ was not a literal sin-infected serpent. Moses made a brass serpent. It looked like the real thing, but it was only a picture of the real thing. It had a likeness, but it was not a real serpent. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 3. As Son of Man, as a man, Jesus looked like a sinner on the cross. He was even classified by judgment to be a sinner. But he was not one. He was only made to look sinful, to look guilty, but he was not. To look deserving of death. But he was not, because he came back from the grave. He did not deserve to die, but he looked like that. Romans 8, chapter 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in likeness. He was not sinful, but He was in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He, that is God the Father, made Christ to be sin for us. He made Him to be sin. He was not a sinner. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. How could a serpent typify the Holy One of God? Because He had to become like a sinner. He had to undergo the penalty of being bitten by sin, though he did not deserve it. He had experienced the curse of the serpent bite. So therefore, he, in a sense, had to represent the sinner under judgment of God. In the Bible, brass always signifies God's judgment. God's judgment. And the judgment of God fell on Christ, who was the likeness of man, and the judgment or the curse of sin was placed upon Christ. Right? But it was only when Jesus was lifted up that he is to be seen as a serpent. At all other times, he is the Holy One of God. While on the cross, lifted up, at that point in time, he becomes the serpent. He takes the sinner's place. He is the dying sinner. He takes the sinner's doom. He takes the curse of sin. On the cross, he represents the lost sinner. Once off the cross, he is once again the Holy One of God. And that's why he's resurrected. Death cannot hold him because death only is a result of sin. He had never sinned. On the cross, he is a serpent. Off the cross, he is a Holy One of God. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, chapter 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? He was made a curse for us. Now note, it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Christ was cursed by the judgment of God while he was Son of Man hanging on the pole. The curse that belongs to you and me because we have been bitten by the real serpent, sin. But he took the curse for us. All right? Now, he was nailed to the cross. And I guess a serpent is the only thing in nature that could truly portray what Jesus was enduring while he was crucified on the cross. Because the serpent is truly a symbol of fallen man. We are bitten. We are under the death sentence. We will die. There's no doubt about it. And sin takes its toll even before we physically die. It wreaks havoc in the lives of men and women, boys and girls and youth. All the people had to do to be healed of the serpent's bite just to look at the serpent on the pole. And that's all. Moses did not tell them to make an ointment. It wasn't necessary. He did not tell them to go out and minister to others. Go out and help those who have been bitten. And that will remove the curse from you. He did not tell them that. A lot of people have that concept. Oh, if I'm benevolent, if I go out and help my neighbor and I'm kind to those that are hurt, well, then God will surely take me to heaven because I have been so kind. That is not the way that people got rid of the serpent bite. It doesn't work that way. But we try to think it works that way. He didn't say, well, now you've been bitten over there. I'll come and help you, and I'll feed you today, and I'll help you walk tomorrow, and God will take away my sin, my snake bite for that. No, that's not what God told him. It doesn't work that way. He didn't say, go out and try and kill all the serpents. What good would that do if you've already been bitten? So that wouldn't help. He didn't say, go out and make an offering to God. That wouldn't do any good. You can't buy it, you know. He didn't also say, go out and have a great prayer meeting, and everybody pray away the serpents, and everybody pray away the serpent bites. That's what a lot of people think with it. That's not what it says. Didn't say, look to Moses. Didn't say, look at your wounds, and they'll go away. Didn't say, tame the snakes, or rename the snakes, or rename the disease to make it sound better. All they were told to do was just look at that snake on the pole. That's the look of faith. You look, and you believe, and you'll be healed. I don't understand it. You don't have to understand. All you want is the benefit. That's all you want. That's all you're interested in. I mean, if I'm under curse and I can get it, I don't care how it works. Just so it works. You know what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:15? And this alludes back to just looking at the serpent on the pole. Whosoever believeth, as he looks at me lifted up as a serpent, whoever believes shall not die of the serpent bite, but he shall have eternal life. There's a new birth, and there's salvation, and there's forgiveness, And there's the removal of the curse promised Nicodemus when he says you must be born again to be saved. All you have to do to have the curse removed is just simply look by faith at Jesus Christ and trust Him to remove it. Man became lost by a look. You remember Eve looked and then she leaped? Man becomes freed of the curse by a look. You look to Christ, and He and He alone. Now the whole human race has been bitten by the snake of sin. And the afflicted are absolutely doomed unless they look to Jesus to heal them of the bite of sin. There is no other way for them to be healed of the serpent bite. And give them a new birth, which is a new life, which has never been bitten by a serpent. And give unto them a life that is eternal with Him in heaven. You don't look to the church to heal you. It cannot do it. Nor the preacher, nor doctors, nor psychologists, nor your self-efforts, kind deeds. You look to Christ, who took your place upon the cross. The serpent's curse can be removed, but it's just simply done by faith. Jesus, I believe You died for me. I believe that You can save me. I believe You can remove the curse of sin, which is hell and death and all the penalty. I believe that, and I'll give my life to You. My faith will submit to You. Would You come into my life and save me? And would You remove the curse as I accept You as my substitute? And that's the way it's done. It's simply by looking to Christ and no other way. Father, we're thankful this day that You sent Your Son and that He was willing to go to the cross and be lifted up. And we, like the people of Israel, have all been bitten by the serpent of sin and fallen under the curse of destruction and death. And as we look around us, what can we do to solve the problem? May You cause us to look up upon the cross and there remember that Jesus Christ took our place, experienced our curse, that we might escape it, and that He now has the right to heal us and give unto us eternal life and cancel out the sickness and the disease or the curse. May we see Him as the only way, the only solution, the only hope. May we look to Him for our salvation. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.